2026 season begins tonight. Cardinals Panthers Hall of Fame game. Yeah, we are pretending to be fired up. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. For many of you, the fantasy season will be beginning in the next few weeks. So we're here to get you ready for your drafts with our most wanted list. Which players do we need to have on our teams? Now, before we get to that, Dave, give me the three biggest X factors that will decide tonight's game.
How tired I am, what's in the fridge, and what else is on TV. Those are the big X factors on whether or not I make it through all four quarters tonight. I'll watch the film the next morning.
Heath, what are you hoping to learn about the kickers tonight?
Everything that I need to know to draft them in all the leagues that I commission where we don't use them.
Perfect. Now listen, we're going to watch the game. It'll be fun. Probably won't get a lot of fantasy nuggets out of it, but it'll be nice to see Carson Beck and what he can do. All right, we have more important things to talk about today. Like I said, we're going to do our most wanted list. First, we're going to do the big news item with Stefon Diggs going to the Commanders. We're also going to do a little bit of combos. Remember those pretzel-y things? Who would you rather have, running back in round one and wide receiver in round two, or wide receiver in round one, running back in round two, those types of things. Heath, let's start with Stefon Diggs going to the Washington Commanders. I put up a very poorly worded Twitter poll. How much does the addition of Stefon Diggs hurt Terry McLaurin's value? Not at all, a little bit, medium, or a lot? Medium, I couldn't think of a better thing to say than medium, but 52% of the respondents said it will hurt McLaurin's value a little bit. Is that what you would have voted for?
That's exactly what I would have voted for. I think it maybe hurts his ceiling medium and hurts his projection a little bit. Could hurt his volume a lot, but probably not. I think this is probably just maybe a couple fewer targets. Doesn't have the upside of, I think earlier in the offseason, they talked about throwing it to him 10 times a game. That's not going to happen. But he is still a very good low-end number two wide receiver. I think I dropped him from 20 to 22. Would expect that the efficiency perhaps gets a little bit better because when Diggs is on the field, it's really hard to double-team Terry McLaurin. And before they had Diggs, it was really easy to double-team Terry McLaurin.
Dave, would you rather have Terry McLaurin in the fifth round or Stefon Diggs in the ninth round?
McLaurin in the fifth. I'm not really moving him down much at all. I still think he's going to be the number one target getter in this offense. I still think Jaden Daniels is a good thrower. And I know Stefon Diggs is well past 30. Last year, he was solid in New England. He was their number one receiver, for lack of a better option. And I think he's going to be more of a number two guy here. And I don't think he'll necessarily impact McLaurin. I think he's going to impact everybody else in this offense, from Chigokonkwo to Antonio Williams to even Rashad White. I think all those guys are going to see their targets dry up a little. Stefon Diggs will carve out around 5-6 per game. McLaurin's going to still get a lot. I still think he's the best option for Daniels to throw to. And I love the connection that they had two seasons ago. And in bits of pieces last year when they were both on the field together, you saw it occasionally. I think this year you're going to see it a lot more because they're both healthy.
Heath, would you rather have Stefon Diggs or Alec Pierce at this point?
Wow, that is a great question. It's almost like you're looking at my rankings and choosing two guys that are ranked right next to each other. I would slightly prefer Stefon Diggs on this day. I'm getting nervous about Alec Pierce, and it seems like it's always like a week to 10 days until we're going to see Alec Pierce. And I would like for it to be now. This is a guy who has been spectacular at doing one thing, going deep and beating defenses over the top. They paid him a boatload of money to be their number one wide receiver. Talked about throwing it to him almost as much as the Commanders did, throwing it to Terry McLaurin. That means he has to develop some new skills or at least prove that he has them. He's not had a chance to do that this offseason. I actually prefer Josh Downs in Indianapolis to Alec Pierce in full PPR leagues.
All right, we're going to get into the combos in a second. I just want to bring one thing up. The season's starting a little bit later this year than it has in years past, the way the calendar falls. The first Sunday of the year is September 13th. Last year it was September 7th. So for a guy like Alec Pierce, it does give him almost an extra week. And for anyone else who's hurt right now, an extra week to get healthy, an extra week for you to draft as well, and an extra week for you to hear me talk, which is never a good thing. Okay, let's do some combos here. Would you rather have, in the early rounds, Dave, I'll go to you first on this. Bijan Robinson and Nico Collins, or Ja'Marr Chase and Jeremiah Love?
This feels easy. I don't know why you paired Love with Chase when I could just have one of the top two running backs and one of the top seven or eight wide receivers in Nico Collins. I would rather go that route, knowing that Bijan Robinson has a chance to be maybe the best running back in fantasy this year. And Nico Collins won't be the best wide receiver in fantasy, but he might only trail Ja'Marr Chase by 3.5 PPR points per game. That number will be even lower in half and non-PPR. And so I think the difference between Bijan and Love is significant. The difference between Collins and Chase, there is a difference, but it's not as significant. So give me Bijan and Nico.
I agree 100% and have nothing more to add.
No, it's the easiest one, but there's actually a lot to add to this because there is a reason why I chose Jeremiah Love. And that's because if you look at Fantasy Pros' average draft position and you have one of the first two or three picks in the draft, that might be the best running back you're looking at. Now, you might prefer Kyren Williams. Maybe Josh Jacobs gets to a point where we're comfortable taking him there. But look at the round two running backs in Fantasy Pros ADP. Chase Brown, Saquon Barkley, Omarion Hampton, Derrick Henry, Kenneth Walker, all off the board by pick 21. So, yeah, if I made that Ken Walker instead of Jeremiah Love, maybe it's a more difficult decision. If I made it Derrick Henry, but I don't know that they're going to be there. So, something for the fantasy managers to keep in mind. You might be looking at Jeremiah Love or Kyren Williams or Josh Jacobs at that point.
Just one quick point also, though. Just because you take Ja'Marr Chase in round one does not mean you have to take a running back in round two.
Exactly.
Of course. But that 2-3 turn, if Walker and Henry and Barkley are all gone and Hampton, obviously, what's the next group? How much do you like Jacobs, Kyren, Love, Breece Hall is in that group? Javante compared to Nico Collins, George Pickens, Rashee Rice. Seems like the receivers are a little stronger there. Let's see. Next combo is Ashton Jeanty. Oh, no, sorry. Christian McCaffrey. Now we're going to go to the middle of the round. Christian McCaffrey and Drake London, or JSN and Omarion Hampton. Heath, would you rather have McCaffrey and London or JSN and Hampton?
This is actually a better one because I have London at the 1-2 turn, which makes me want to take him, but I have JSN well ahead of where I take Christian McCaffrey, which makes me want to take him. So the difference for me between McCaffrey and Hampton in projections is about 90 fantasy points for the season. The difference between London and JSN is not near that big. So as long as you can stomach the injury risk from Christian McCaffrey, he's a clear winner in the projections, and that's the way I would lean also.
I would go the other way because I am a little bit worried about McCaffrey holding up. We know about the workload he had last year, the fact that he's 30 years old. Look at all the other injuries that's going on in San Francisco right now. That actually might help McCaffrey. It certainly did last year when it came to his targets, but I don't think I think that there's actually an opportunity for Omarion Hampton to get relatively close to the floor of Christian McCaffrey, which sounds bad, but it's really not. And we had a good talk on our podcast on Thursday morning about Jaxon Smith-Njigba and what his two pathways are this season. If Seattle ends up being just as good as running the ball this year as they were last year, then maybe there's room for regression for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But I'm not factoring that right now. I think that run game is going to be a little bit worse, and JSN and the Seattle Seahawks are going to have to throw a little bit more. JSN obviously can get more targets. Give me JSN and Hampton. I really love the outlook for Hampton. Offensive line's healthy. Mike McDaniel's the play caller. He's the feature back. He's taken steps this offseason to be a better running back. I think he could be in for a monster year.
Let's go to the end of round one now in a 12-team league. Would you rather take Ashton Jeanty and Devon Achane, a little RB start, or CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson, the exact opposite? Heath, Jeanty and Achane, or Lamb and Jefferson?
So I think that this probably comes down to how scared you are of the mid-round running backs. I project the wide receivers in full PPR leagues to be about a point per game better than the running backs. So I'm going to go that way, but I am far more comfortable with starting with wide receivers and tight ends early and stockpiling running backs in the middle rounds than a lot of people are this year. I'll take the wide receivers. I'm assuming the majority of people would take the running backs.
I would much prefer to take one of each, one running back and one wide receiver. That gives me a great balance. But you're not giving me that option, Azer.
Nope.
Give me the running backs. I think there's just a little bit more upside with both Achan and Ashton Jeanty. And we're definitely right to make a big deal about what's happening in Miami, the change at quarterback, the change at wide receiver, the fact that they're not expected to be a high-scoring offense this year. You know what? They weren't a high-scoring offense last year, and Devon Achan averaged over 20 PPR points per game. I am hoping he can come within 80% of that, and that's still going to be in line with what an expectation, a fair expectation, is for Justin Jefferson with Kyler Murray as his quarterback. Ashton Jeanty, new play caller, better offensive line. Not a lot of receiving weapons in Las Vegas either. I could see Ashton Jeanty having a very, very strong year and competing to be better than CeeDee Lamb. Give me the running backs.
So let's get a second and third round combo here. And you already drafted Ja'Marr Chase. He was your number one pick. So with your next two picks, would you rather have Brock Bowers and Jeremiah Love or A.J. Brown and Jeremiah Love? You're going to have Chase in round one and Love in round three. Are you going with that second wide receiver in A.J. Brown, or are you going with the tight end in Brock Bowers, Dave?
I'm going with A.J. Brown. It's interesting that you decided to put Jeremiah Love in yet another combo and not giving us the choice to get away from him, but I understand what you're doing. I'd rather have Brown. I think that he's going to be in a spot where the targets will come aplenty. That wasn't necessarily the case all the time in Philadelphia, and I have more trust in him catching passes from Drake May than I do Jalen Hurts at this point. Brock Bowers is an awesome talent. There's no doubt about it. I'm not even sure he's my favorite tight end in full PPR. I've had Trey McBride ranked ahead of him. It's really close, but I'm a big fan of McBride. Let's take the wide receiver first and cross our fingers that maybe McBride, and if not him, then Colson Loveland will certainly be there for me in round three, if I even want to take a tight end in round three.
I feel like because it's my job to offer fantasy advice, I should at least say that I wouldn't take any of these players in round two. And so I kind of reject the premise, but I do prefer Brock Bowers to A.J. Brown. And so that would be my answer.
All right, let's do a tight end running back combo. Tight end early or in the mid rounds. And let's see, Trey McBride and Bajal Touton. McBride and Touton. Or Tyler Warren and Kyren Williams. Dave, which combo do you prefer, McBride and Touton or Warren and Kyren?
I think if Touton meets expectations, he can come close to where Kyren Williams has been in fantasy each of the last two seasons. But if Touton ends up meeting Liam Cohen's expectations and has a breakout year, then this is a no-brainer. You take a top two tight end in Trey McBride and you pair him with a young, high upside running back in Bajal Touton. I'd go in that direction. I think that that would help my fantasy team in full PPR get off to a better start and then continue that start all the way through the year. It's contingent on Touton. And if I'm drafting these two, maybe I go and get Chris Rodriguez with a late round pick and lock up the backfield on one of the league's most explosive offenses.
This is by far your best combo question yet, Adam. I actually have 28 points separating Kyren and Touton in my projections. I have 27 points separating McBride and Warren in my projections. But McBride's on my bust list. He's on my do not draft list. He's being drafted too high. So I will say Kyren Williams and Tyler Warren.
This one, this last one's going to be my best. Lamar Jackson and Tucker Kraft. Or Colson Loveland and Jaxon Dart. So now we've got a QB tight end combo. You like Jaxon and Kraft or Loveland and Dart Heath?
Yeah, I'm not drafting Jaxon Dart where he's being drafted. So that's a problem for me. But I did just move Colson Loveland up to tight end too. I'm taking him ahead of Trey McBride. So give me Colson Loveland and I can just take Brock Purdy or Jared Goff in the double digit rounds and start them over Jaxon Dart.
Only have one quarterback on your team.
I've caught myself daydreaming about Tucker Kraft and his upside after what we saw last year. He didn't even have great target volume. It was 5.5 targets per game. And his PPR points was like top three before he got hurt. He's been on the precipice of practicing in camp. Sounds like he's going to be ready to go for week one. I might not expect him to be at his best until week four. You're telling me I can get a tight end like that and potentially the number one quarterback in fantasy football, certainly a quarterback with potential to score 30 fantasy points per game in 6 points. We've seen him do it before. I will take Lamar Jackson and Tucker Kraft, even though I do obviously like Colson Loveland a lot. Just not enough to say that he's the second best tight end in fantasy.
Okay, now we know what Dave daydreams about as well. You learned a lot in the first segment here, but we haven't even gotten to our most wanted players for 2026. We will do that with Heath's most wanted list when we come back. Will there be any Chiefs on there? I think you already know the answer. We'll be right back. Must-have players for us, our most wanted list. We're going to start with Heath Cummings' list, which has Rashee Rice, who has been just so good since breaking out in the last six games of his rookie season. Unfortunately, an injury-shortened 2024, an injury and suspension-shortened 2025, but when he is on the field with Patrick Mahomes, he is money, and he's the first guy we'll talk about here. Right now, Rashee Rice is wide receiver 10 in ADP, one of those wide receivers that we talked about earlier going at the 2-3 turn, 25th overall. What do you like about Rashee Rice, and what do you expect from him this year?
Well, I think it's almost like you have to talk about what you don't like about Rashee Rice, because his last 17 healthy games, 120 catches, 1,377 yards, 10 touchdowns, 19 PPR fantasy points per game. If that's the guy we're drafting, then he should be going ahead of CeeDee Lamb, ahead of Justin Jefferson. He should probably be going 9th or 10th overall in fantasy drafts, and somehow he's available at the 2-3 turn. This is a free space pick for me in round 2. Now, is he going to lose a little bit because they have a run game in Kenneth Walker now? Maybe he loses just a little bit. I think he could lose 10%, 15% and still be worth a pick in round 2. The Chiefs don't have other wide receivers to really challenge Rice. I know there was the silly video of him running slow on a post against air. There's also a video the next day of him running a slant in the red zone and beating the corner by 3 steps. Rashee Rice runs short area routes. He's very good at it. Patrick Mahomes trusts him. Draft him in round 2 in every draft you have.
I'll tell you what makes me nervous about Rashee Rice, and you mentioned it, Heath. You talked about all those games that he had, his last 17 or 18 games, and he's had that monster PPR number. None of them came with Kenneth Walker on the field. And so I did a little bit of research. There's been 18 games where Kansas City has had a running back with 15-plus carries, and Rice has been there. Rice has averaged, or not averaged, he's had 17 or more PPR points in 8 of the 18, 14.4 in one of them, 13.3 or less in 9 of them. I'm worried that if Kenneth Walker is too good, he'll hurt all the pass catchers in Kansas City's offense. I think fantasy managers have to make a choice between whether they believe Rice is who he is or Kenneth Walker is going to be this great running back that alters how this Chiefs offense operates. I'm not sure which way I'm leaning, and I think that if everybody stays healthy, which is another factor not only for Rice but also for Walker, there could be weeks where both of them are good, but there probably won't be weeks where both of them are great. And so I've moved Rashee Rice out of round 2 into round 3, even in full PPR. I am nervous about him hitting that upside that you talked about.
Oh, man. That just seems so drastic, because unless you're worried about the injury, look, I mean, his ADP is in round 3, early round 3,
yeah,
so I get it.
Sure.
But I think, I don't know, man. He's Mahomes' guy. And the Chiefs, they've had a really good defense for 3 straight years, right? And they're still one of the most pass-heavy teams. This is Andy Reid and this is Patrick Mahomes. They're still going to throw the ball a ton. And they've had a average to below average offense, slightly above to slightly below average offense 3 straight years. I just think if Ken Walker's really good, I just think the offense gets better, that they score a lot more points, and Rice is still their main guy. And getting those 5-yard air yard targets, whatever. I don't know, Dave.
You better hope he gets a lot of them.
He will. Why wouldn't he?
I will say that, Dave called what I presented as the case for Rice the upside case. That's just what he's done in his last 17 football games.
Again,
that
is who Rashee Rice is. Game for Kansas City.
I mean, that is true. That is true. By the way, he's got his man versus zone splits are crazy. We don't really have time to talk about it, but the Chiefs as a team are just horrible against man, but he is so good against zone. It's crazy. All right. Next up, Heath, what do you have? Zay Flowers going 39th overall as wide receiver.
I'm not 15. I'm not sure there's two more different wide receivers than Rashee Rice and Zay Flowers, but Zay Flowers took the alpha turn last year and nobody noticed because the Ravens only threw 420 passes. He was top five in route share. That's the percentage of his team's routes that he's on the field, targets per route run and yards per route run. Lamar Jackson, over his career, has had a 17-game pace of about 480 passes. That'd be 60 more passes than what we had last year. At Zay Flowers' target share, that's 20 more targets than what he had last year. Now, the big knock on him has been he doesn't score touchdowns. We've seen it over and over the last few years. Guys who don't score touchdowns all of a sudden score touchdowns. We saw it with Terry McLaurin. We saw it with Chris Olave. We saw it further back with DJ Moore. We saw it with smaller guys like Antonio Brown and Tyler Lockett, who early in their career didn't score at the same rate that Zay Flowers has, all of a sudden scored touchdowns. They've got a new offensive coordinator. All he talks about is how much he loves Zay Flowers. He is an alpha number one wide receiver, a top 10 wide receiver in my projections. He's worth a pick in round two. He doesn't go till round four. Just draft him in round three of every draft.
So the good news is the ADP, and I'm actually okay with the ADP on Zay Flowers, that late round three, early round four. If he's in that range, I'll take him too. I don't like that he has 30 career red zone targets. The best receivers last year had 30 red zone targets in one season. And so that just makes me nervous about what Zay Flowers could be, and meaning that he's going to be what he has been, not what Heath's rosy picture suggests. And he's been getting target volume last year, almost 7 targets per game. I'd love for that number to go up. And Heath can kind of convince me that that number will indeed go up. But I don't know if that means that he's going to end up being a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. The thing they said that I agree with the most, draft him where the ADP is. And if it's, let's call it 30th to 40th, and he's closer to 40th in ADP, I don't think you're taking too big of a risk there with Zay Flowers.
Yeah.
Adam, he was top 12 last year, right?
I think he was 12th per game, 7th overall.
Yeah.
Right around that. He scored the same amount of fantasy points as A.J. Brown. I think they were tied for 12th per game, full PPR. Same amount of points per game. Yeah, look, you can't really, it's hard to predict end zone targets, I guess. He's had 4, 9, and 5 in his 3 seasons. When McLaurin had that touchdown season, he had 16 end zone targets. Last year, Olave had 14 end zone targets. We'd love to see Lamar Jackson throw the ball to Zay Flowers where it matters a little bit more. Luther Burden, Heath, we go 10 picks later to the 49th overall pick, wide receiver 21. Luther Burden is on your most wanted list.
This just seems completely disconnected from reality because every time I open social media, there's another Luther Burden quote from his head coach, his offensive coordinator, his quarterback, his running back, anybody in Chicago talking about how awesome Luther Burden is. Everybody's talking about how Luther Burden's being drafted so high, and somehow he has an ADP at the 4-5 turn. Luther Burden is going to be the number one wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. He was one of the most efficient wide receivers in the NFL last year. I would be happy to draft him at the end of round three. He's going at the end of round four, so you don't have to. We've got our round 2, 3, and 4 picks locked in. Rashee Rice, Zay Flowers, Luther Burden.
Oh, Heath, are we going to agree on anybody in this segment? The answer is yes. We're going to agree on Luther Burden because I think that he is an excellent pick as somebody that fantasy managers should target. Think about how he was utilized toward the end of last season in Chicago and in the postseason. That's when I think the coaching staff got comfortable with him and he was comfortable with his role in Chicago's offense. He was getting some serious targets, third down, fourth down, and they weren't deep downfield all the time. They were a lot of short area throws, but that's part of what makes a great PPR receiver, and he was really good at making the first guy miss. When I went back and watched his film, he was a little bit bigger than I remembered him when he was playing in college. His arms are nice and long, and I think he's going to be, exactly as you said, the number one target getter among receivers in Chicago. I think Colson Loveland will have more targets, and I think it'll be close between those two. I love the ADP.
All right, Heath, we got to wrap this segment up here. So just you, if you want to give me 30 seconds combined, I know it's a tough task here. 30 seconds combined on Sam Laporta, who's going as tight end 7, and Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, who's a round 9, round 10 pick in RB 40.
Sam LaPorta is the only reason I have a hard time clicking Brock Bowers and Colston Loveland early, because I think LaPorta might be almost as good as those guys in round 5 or 6. He's already has a tight end one season under his belt. He just got Drew Petzing, the guy responsible for Trey McBride's breakout as his new offensive coordinator. Sam LaPorta is going to be a top 3 tight end this year. Jacory Kroski-Merritt is available in round 10. He's the starting running back. You can get a starting running back in round 10. He led the NFL in rush success rate last year, and he's catching the ball better in training camp. He is going to be the number one back on the Commanders this season.
We'll be back with Dave's Most Wanted list, which is headlined by a guy who's got some pretty encouraging preseason reports, but is he going to get pushed up too high? We'll find out after this on Fantasy Football Today. We are back with Dave's Most Wanted lists on Fantasy Football Today. Right into it with Malik Nabers, who we're going to see that ADP maybe continue to climb. 30th overall, wide receiver 13. Would you rather have Malik Nabers or Rashee Rice?
I'd rather have Nabers. I think that the fact that he's participating in training camp without issue, avoided the PUP list, told the media that their timeline for his second surgery was wrong, running routes before training camp even happened, and then came to training camp. And I'm not going to say he looked exactly like his old self, but he was certainly closer to his old self than he was a guy who was coming back from a serious knee injury. I'm encouraged, and I think that he's still going to be the top target getter in the Giants offense. We've seen Matt Nagy offenses have a receiver get hyper-targeted before. Obviously, we saw it with Rashee Rice in Kansas City. We also saw it in Chicago when Nagy was the primary play caller there. And we know how electric of a receiver he can be. I think he's going to use the next 2 weeks to continue round his game into form, and he's going to end up being an awesome fantasy wide receiver. If he were never hurt, we'd be taking him in round 1. Now I can take him in late round 2 and feel totally fine with it.
Heath, you know, I would argue that he hasn't really done enough to justify taking him in round 1 if he had not been hurt. And also, right, I'm like, man, you get one good report about the Giants offense, it'd be nice right now, because it's all been pretty ugly so far early in camp.
Yeah, Nabers has pretty much exactly where I have him ranked in terms of ADP. So I like him. I think he has upside. I think he could provide as much value as Rashee Rice. If he gets all the way to the first week of the season when a lot of people are drafting and there's been no setbacks and they say he's a full go for week 1, then I will definitely move him up into round 2. But I do think that the way that Jackson Dart and the Giants offense had success last year was at least a little bit wonky and probably not how they're going to play football this year. So there's still a little bit of mystery for me as to how good this pass game is going to be.
Hey, let's combine a couple of players. Let's combine two tight ends here. What's a better value on your most wanted list? Colston Loveland, 43rd overall, is tight end 3, or Isaiah Likely? And look at you, big blue. Isaiah Likely, 10th overall, tight end 11. So again, that's Colston Loveland in round 4 and Isaiah Likely in round 10. What's a better value?
The better value for me is Likely, but that comes with a caveat. If I'm seeing Colston Loveland available right around that early round 4 range, I'm still going to take him first. I want a tight end that's got the potential to lead his team in targets, catches, yards, and touchdowns. And I think Loveland can do that. And I'm getting him at a discount compared to the other tight ends, Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, that have that same type of potential. And I think Loveland, and Heath can attest to this, he can potentially be the number 2 tight end in fantasy and maybe even the number 1. So the fact that you're able to get him right now well into round 4, you can reach a little bit for him and feel really, really good about it. I was definitely more excited about Likely during the offseason than I am now, but we've heard reports about Likely looking good in training camp and having that rapport with Jackson Dart. Dart looked to his tight ends 23% of the time last year. I think that Likely is there to be a difference maker at that position, get some favorable matchups. We know that Malik Nabers is certainly going to draw a lot of attention from the offense. I think Likely can benefit from it. He has a very small track record, but in the 9 games, he's had at least 6 targets in his career. He's delivered at least 12.5 PPR points 8 of 9 times. We know about his athleticism. We know that he can be a red zone threat. I think that all comes together for him, and he's a good value when you're drafting him in that round 9-10 range.
And this is part of the problem, because I agree with everything Dave said, and I want to draft both of these guys higher than they're being drafted, just like I want to draft Sam Laporta higher than he's being drafted, just like I want to draft Kyle Pitts higher than he's being drafted. This is part of the reason why I have a hard time getting Bowers into round 2, and it's a bigger part of the reason why I'm not drafting Trey McBride as early as he's being taken.
Okay, Dave, let's look at two wide receivers going in similar ranges, rounds 3 or 4. Emeka Buka, 39th overall, wide receiver 17. Jalen Waddle, 49th overall, wide receiver 22. You know, I don't even know that we need to debate the value here, but who do you like better, Abuka or Waddle?
I like Abuka better than Waddle. I was really encouraged by not just how Abuka started last season, over 20 PPR points per game in his first 4 games, some of those with Mike Evans, and he was getting well past 7 targets per game. But even after the hamstring injury that he suffered in week 5, for the most of the middle of the season, he was still getting north of 7.5 targets per game, and that was when he wasn't at 100%. The offensive line wasn't at 100%. Baker Mayfield wasn't at 100%. There was definite concern about Emeka Abuka, and yet he was still getting a lot of targets. It wasn't until Mike Evans came back when Abuka's target volume went down. We know that Mike Evans has changed coasts. He's in San Francisco now. I think Abuka is ready to handle that mantle of the top wide receiver in Tampa, and with Baker Mayfield healthy and motivated for a monster year, and I think this is going to be a team that throws a lot, Emeka Abuka can go right back up to 7.5 targets per game and be potentially as good as he was in his first few games as a rookie. As for Jalen Waddle, his role is changing completely. He's not third fiddle in Miami anymore. He's got a better quarterback. He's going to be the number one target getter in Denver, and we've seen Sean Payton's offenses before hyper-target the best wide receiver in their offenses, and I think Waddle's that guy. The fact that they can use him at all 3 levels, line him up across the field, and he's more explosive. I want to buy into that, and I'm comfortable taking him in the same range that I'm taking Colson Loveland. It's a tough call between those two, but because ADP says that I can wait a significant amount of picks later to get Waddle, not Warren. That was a weird Freudian slip. Give me Loveland first, Waddle second, but I do like Waddle to have a shot at finishing top 12.
I think both Igbuka and Waddle, I'm a little bit above ADP on. I'm a little bit scared of their quarterback play. I am not convinced that Bo Nix is a quarterback upgrade for Jalen Waddle. It takes a special type of quarterback to throw the ball 612 times, lead the NFL in pass attempts, and fail to throw for 4,000 yards and just throw 25 pass touchdowns. I just don't know how good Baker Mayfield still is and how good Bo Nix will ever be.
Well, I do know that Chase Brown, unrelated, should be a first-round pick. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you exactly why as we look at my most wanted list after this break on Fantasy Football Today. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today. Now, listen, about a year ago, I gave my most wanted list on this very show, and it was Matthew Stafford, Devon Achane, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, George Pickens, and Jason Myers, who was the number one kicker in fantasy, and I even predicted the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. May not remember that. It's a lost episode. It never aired. But
if you just would have replaced Jason Myers with Isaiah Pacheco, I think a lot of people might have actually believed you.
Yeah, you're right. He would have been on that list last year. But this list is going to be close to the equivalent of that dream list. Here we go. Here are my most wanted players. I'll let you guys hop in after. Heath, you can talk about Chase Brown when I'm done here. Chase Brown should be a first-round pick. He's going 16th overall. He was RB8 per game last year and didn't even have that great of a year because he got off to such a bad start. That was in full PPR. 7 games with Joe Burrow last year, he averaged 21 points per game. Weeks 9 through 17 of 2024, when he became the starting running back, he averaged 20.6 PPR points per game. I like him better than CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson and Devon Achane and Ashton Gentry. Heath, I love Chase Brown.
You know, everybody's favorite AFC team, if they don't have an AFC team that they follow, is the Los Angeles Chargers. I make lots of jokes about that. But your favorite AFC team, since you are a Giants fan, should definitely be the Bengals, because there is no team that better shows the attributes of Azerstatting than the Bengals. I think if everybody stays healthy and the Bengals don't start terrible like they have several years in the past, then Chase Brown, you're exactly right. But even if you're not, he's being drafted where he should be. I think he's definitely a top 15 pick. Him versus Achan versus Cook is really interesting.
Dave?
I love him. I agree with you. In fact, you stole him off my list, so you know I'm going to agree with you. Look at how he did from week 8 on last year. 21.2 PPR points per game on 19.4 touches per game. Early reports out of camp from athletic reporter Paul Diener is that he's been used across the formation. The Bengals are changing up how their offense is going to look. More under center, more play action, and more utilization of Chase Brown across the board. And their defense should be better. Think about all the moves they made this offseason. And if their defense is better, that might mean a couple more games with favorable game scripts in the second half for Chase Brown. I love this call. He's one of my most wanted players too.
All right, my next guy is AJ Brown, and he's 29 years old and he's going to a new team. And guess what? AJ Brown's about to have the best season of his career for fantasy. I'm really excited about this fit. This team, the New England Patriots, they had the third most passing yards in the NFL last year. And they need a true number one wide receiver. Yes, they spread the targets out last year, but not when Stephon Diggs was on the field. When Stephon Diggs was on the field, he was targeted like a number one guy, not like a true elite number one guy. But guess what? AJ Brown's better than Stephon Diggs. And Drake May is the best passer that AJ Brown will have played with. This will be by far the most prolific offense in terms of just passing yards and passing touchdowns that AJ Brown will have ever been on. I think he got off to a slow start last year because of his preseason hamstring injury. In his last 8 games, AJ Brown averaged 18.6 PPR fantasy points per game. He is a superstar that has never been on an offense that has featured him enough to make him the superstar that he really is. Dave, I can't get enough AJ Brown.
And I love the fit in this offense, and you talked about it. I mentioned this to you earlier in the week. Josh McDaniels, has had a wide receiver get 9+ targets per game in 14 different seasons of him being a play caller in the National Football League. And he's been around for about 2 decades, but that's still a high rate. And who else is going to fill that role for him in New England? Plus, Mike Vrabel knows exactly what A.J. Brown can do. They were together in Tennessee, and by the time they were done in Tennessee together, A.J. Brown was a monster statistically. I like this call a lot also.
Keith, I'm going to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've talked too much, running out of time. So I'm going to go to round 3, maybe round 4, based on the ADP. I mean, T. Higgins going 41st. I don't get that. He's always basically been a round 3 pick, unless you're getting a discount on him like you did a couple years ago. He's wide receiver 19. T. Higgins, when he and Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are all healthy and playing their normal snap shares, he usually, I think in 4 or 5 seasons, has averaged at least 15.6 PPR fantasy points per game. You're talking about round 3 and 4 wide receivers. They're very risky. There have been a ton of busts there in the last couple of years. T. Higgins, to me, is like, take a nice, deep, calm breath because you've got a safe wide receiver. He's not going to win you your league. He sure as hell isn't going to lose you your league. I like him as a good, safe player that could be a top 12 guy.
It is very interesting the way that you view the word safe for someone with T. Higgins' injury history. This continues with the theme that the Bengals and Azerstats go together like T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. No, I love this one. He should be an early round 3 pick. He's my wide receiver 13.
Go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's my fault. Ladd McConkey is my next guy here. And I was nervous about McConkey when I thought I had to take him at the 3-4 turn. But ADP is closer to the 4-5 turn. He's going 49th overall as wide receiver 20. They lost their leading target getter from last year in Keenan Allen. They haven't really replaced him. I know they could talk about the other guys, but I think McConkey is clearly the most talented player on this team in this receiving core. And he may not get 140, maybe not even 130, but I think he'll get at least 120 targets. That should be enough for him to flirt with a top 15 finish. And this offense could take off, Dave. Do you like McConkie at the 4-5 turn? Where do you like McConkie?
I definitely like McConkie at the 4-5 turn. The bad news with Mike McDaniel getting there is he's a run game savant, so that run game is going to be a big part of a focus. And he also calls plays at a snail's pace. I wouldn't expect them to play up-tempo very often. But one of the things that McDaniel talked about this offseason was making life easier for Justin Herbert, a lot of easier short area throws. And when I read that, that's when I knew that Ladd McConkie was going to get hyper targeted. And if you go back to last year, every single game he had with at least seven targets, he came through with at least 14.9 PPR points per game. So if he averages that over the course of the season, seven targets per game, I think you can pencil him in for around 15 PPR points per game. He's almost a steal based on the ADP.
One more guy. I know Heath likes this one. We talked about him on our Thursday morning podcast. Josh Downs, not even a top 100 pick. I do expect that to change, and I'm happy taking Josh Downs somewhere in the 80s, I would say. I'm really excited about him. I'll make the comparison to JSN. JSN's first two seasons in the slot about 70% of the time. Josh Downs so far has been in the slot even more than that. JSN's first two seasons, 10.8 yards per catch, same as Josh Downs. 7.6 yards per target, Josh Downs at 7.3. I think JSN's a better player, but Josh Downs hasn't been used right. They're going to move him outside more. I think he's one of the best route runners. He destroys cornerbacks. He gets so open. And without, again, same thing like with Conkey not having Keenan Allen, no Michael Pittman, huge opportunity for Josh Downs. Alec Pierce is hurt. This guy could be one of the steals of the draft. And we want to hear from you. So we're going to do that when we come back on Fantasy Football Today with your tweets after this. Start with your questions. This one's from John. How cautious are you to draft a rookie running back after last year's class mostly underwhelmed, Dave Richard?
Well, last year we saw Ashton Jeanty average 14.4 PPR points per game. If we keep it in that kind of context for Jeremiah Love, I wouldn't be that cautious, but it wouldn't mean taking him with a top 30 pick. Late round three, the earliest on him.
Next question. This will be for Heath. Get ready, Heath. I'm in the two spot in a 10-team PPR league. I'm seeing more recommendations to take Ja'Marr Chase over Bijan or Gibbs than I expected. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that Jahmyr Gibbs should be the first player taken. Bijan Robinson should be the second player taken. Ja'Marr Chase should be the third player taken. I think there's a bigger difference between those running backs and the running backs you can get the end of round two, especially just because of the fact that everybody's pushing running backs up so high than there is between Chase and the wide receivers you can find.
It'll be even easier to do because it's a 10-team league also.
Right, the running backs will be better at the end of round two in a 10-team league than they would at the end of a 12-team league. But
same with receivers.
You can't go wrong. Let's get our next question here. Back to Heath. Who's the best running back to draft in Seattle?
I would rather draft Zach Charbonnet at his ADP than Jadarian Price at his ADP. But in some drafts, it's palatable to do both. So definitely Price should be drafted before Zach Charbonnet. Sometimes he's drafted seven rounds before Zach Charbonnet. I like the value better on Charbonnet. I like the upside early in the season better for Price.
And next up for Dave. Doing great here, guys. How many of y'all's quarterbacks are you comfortable drafting to be y'all only quarterback?
What's up, Texas? I like about 17 quarterbacks a lot. And this is one of the things that you have to do before you go into your fantasy drafts is make sure you know how many quarterbacks that you're comfortable with as your main guy. And as long as that number is more than, let's say, 12, you can be a little more patient about drafting that quarterback. If that number is lower than 12, especially if it's single digits, you may want to prioritize the position.
Rapid fire for Heath. One more. Can Luther Burden actually have an Amon-Ra St. Brown-like season?
He absolutely can. I'm not saying he will, but if Caleb Williams has learned to play on schedule, if Caleb Williams has become a more accurate passer, then yes, Luther Burden could have an Amon-Ra St. Brown-like season.
Thank you, Bobby Boucher, for that wonderful question. Obviously, he's going to need the right hydration to have that kind of season. Now, quit our show. Please check out our Fantasy Football Today podcast. We have shows basically every single day forever, and you'll enjoy it, and we'll help you get ready for your draft. Thanks to Dave and Heath, of course, to all of you for watching. I am Adam Azer. We will talk to you next time on Fantasy Football Today. Enjoy the Hall of Fame game, and good luck in your drafts if you have any coming up.
Welcome to Plutophone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, The Matrix, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, or Mean Girls.
That is so fetch.
Just stream it for free on Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.